Excited and thankful to get to minister today of all days, Mother's Day. That is special to me. And when it came up to the opportunity to do this, I started praying, and pretty quickly the Lord gave me the direction. And it's going to tie in with the direction that Pastor Will's been going to with the book of Ephesians. And so let me get my stuff organized here. But I have something for you, especially you ladies. And we're going to talk about the power of a praying mama a little bit today. That's where we're going to go. So if you'll just join with me, position your heart. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be gathered together, assembled together, to encourage one another, strengthen one another, pray for one another. And Father, right now, I just ask you for a door of utterance to just be open, to share your heart and your thankfulness. Father, I just thank you for all the good things that you've done. And Father, I just pray that as a minister, what you've laid on my heart, that it'll be a strength and encouragement to each and every person, that as they go forth, lives will be changed, families will be redirected, and come into alignment with your promises and your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about that, the power of a praying mama. And so it's Mother's Day, and so my mom was going to watch this online today. So, Mom, I love you. Thank you for everything you ever did for me. It was awesome. And so that's what we should be saying to all of our moms. Wally brought it out this morning in pre-service about how his mom just set her life on the idol, sacrifice, all the sacrifices. And you moms do that. You're always there. You're that tender touch. I remember years ago, I was watching this clip, and it was Bill Cosby. And he was talking about moms and dads, and he said, you know, you got this little boy, and as he's growing up, you're teaching him to catch the football, run the football. He's doing this, and you're like, get up, you know, and you're making him tough. You're like, attack that tree. He's doing all that, and he makes it to the NFL, and they stick the camera in front of his face and a microphone. So you got anything to say? He says, hi, Mom. He's like, Mom wasn't nowhere around when this was going on. I'm the one that made him a champion. I'm the one that did that, made him tough. But I'll tell you what, when we're little, man, you know, Dad is really awesome. But when you fall down, you skin your elbow, when you do stuff, you want that mama to pull you up and give you that mama love. Yesterday, my wife and I, we went in, there's a gas station called Turk's outside of Chandler, and they make little deli sandwiches. They're always so good. And me and some guys, we were talking about that. Me and my wife, we went in there yesterday and got one. And I said, I think the key ingredient is the mama love that they put in there, because it's just a plain sandwich. But you go in there and you get it, and you're like, man, this is good. And it's like that mama love that's in there. So you moms, you can make something, you can take care of something, and it just makes things all kinds of better. So I was looking up. I was like, you know what? I need to look up in the Strong's Concordance the word mother. And so I looked it up, and in the Hebrew, it's actually the number 517, and I am not a Hebrew-Greek scholar by any means, but I do have a Strong's Concordance, and it has this strange symbol, and it's like E-M, got this little symbol over the top of it, and I thought, well, that's kind of appropriate right there. Mom, yeah, because that's what happens when my wife walks in. Hey, how are you doing? And so I'm always chasing after it. And so if you guys are not, realign yourself. And so, but in the parentheses, in the Strong's Concordance, it has as the bond of the family. And I was like, now that's a fact. Your mamas can put an end to some division and bring a bond inside of there. And then it had this literal definition of, and figured it was like a dam. And I thought, man, that's about right. You can just have people just be in this wild stream going any which way, and a mom can come in there and she can dam these things up, bring together this family, and it went from just a wild little stream going about its business to now it's like a pond or a lake, and there's all these little sources of life coming off of that. And I'm telling you, moms are awesome. I mean, you are awesome. I'm thankful for you. And so one of the reasons I was so excited about today is because after all the years of being a prayer minister, You could have a family come up. You give a scripture to a mom to pray, most of them will do it. You give it to a dad or a guy, ugh, it's dismal, dismal in what they will do. But a mama will pray for her family. She'll pray, and those prayers, moms, are not wasted. Sometimes we can feel like, man, it's not really making a whole lot of difference. And I want to draw your attention to Psalms 141, verse 2. And this goes along with that song that they picked, that they didn't know if they can get that up there. If not, let me read it here. There it is. Awesome. It says, let my prayers be set before you as an incense. You remember that phrase in that song a while ago? Those incense lifting up? The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The next one, Revelation 5, 8. I was looking this up about prayers. And so sometimes we can think, man, you know, my prayers, where are they going? And look at this. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And I thought, man, that's amazing. So you're praying for your family. You're praying for your kids. You're praying for issues inside of our lives. We all got those issues going on. And a lot of times we can get so busy with the things of life and we can start slacking off on prayers. And so the direction I'm going to head towards today is about the prayer, supplication, and petition. Something you don't hardly ever hear about. And something that I let slip in my life a whole lot. My wife and I have written several prayers of supplication out, written several prayers of petition. And you know, those things had drastic results. And so we're gonna get into that a little bit today. You know, in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. And click that up there real quick. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Very familiar section of scripture. There we go. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And the context of that is we can call unto God, he's listening. And then it ends with that, with all of your heart. So that means removing some of the other distractions and putting your attention and focus on that. And so one thing I like to do is I like to make a point out of just spending some time in prayer. Because you can think, man, is it really making that much difference? And here lately, man, at work, I've had some amazing encounters with the Lord's just been putting on to me about just doing this intercession and petition and supplication with these roads that I travel down. This has been going on for a while, and it's just been increasing and increasing. I'll go around. I run a road grader for the county. I go around the corner, and I start in on a road, start addressing something or grading that mile section or whatever. I start praying. I start lifting up these families on this road, and I start interceding for them, and I start making supplication for them, and I start praying the prayers of supplication that Paul had inside the book of Ephesians and the Colossians and Philippians, and I just start meshing those together, and I start speaking over those families, and I start speaking against things, and then I get connected in with the Holy Spirit. I'll start praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, because it says pray with your understanding and pray in the Spirit. So I'll be doing that, and so then I start praying in the Spirit, and then it starts coming up. Hey, there's some division in this little section right here. There's some families that are astray. There's some little ones that have went off on another path and they're not following after God. There needs to be a new God path put inside of this family right here. And so then I just start speaking to that and I start doing that. And so, man, I've seen such drastic results in my little circle. One guy stopped and I prayed for him, and I shared this the last time I ministered, and then he come back around the next day and he was like, you know, when you prayed for me yesterday, do you remember what you said? And I said, no. He said, man, you reached into heaven and pulled some things down. you was praying some things over me and my family that you don't have any idea. It was God. And so that's just that flow. And so sometimes we cannot get in that flow because we haven't learned. We haven't started getting steps going toward that direction. We haven't had somebody to model that for us. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." That was the verse I had for the prayer team this morning that the Lord gave me. And that fervent prayer indicates, if you start looking up things about that, that effectual fervent prayer, it redeems, it pulls out like white hot, something fierce. So I don't know about you, but there's been times, there's been things going in around in my little circle of influence or inside of my life, and it needs a fervent prayer. It doesn't need just, "Oh Lord, I just pray that you just bless so-and-so." No, it needs, "Right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to this right now. No, you're going to stop. I bind you in the name of Jesus and I loose your word over them in Jesus' name. No, that's going to stop. It gets cut off inside of my family. It gets cut off in generations. My family will serve the Lord. My family will leave a heritage for the kingdom of God. Then we'll be known as people." So there's a time to have a fervent prayer. That's not knowing a little quiet little prayer. And I like to walk and pray. I like to be doing stuff when I'm praying. To come up here, there's a time, it's awesome to come up and just kneel down and pray. I've had some great results like that, but I'm one of those guys, man, I can be doing something. Yesterday inside the house, we were doing some stuff around in there, and Shauna was putting the sheets on the bed, and we were walking around, and I'd been just going around, and I'm just praying in the spirit, and I'm just like that. And I'd had in my mind, "Well, you know, do you have something that you want me to share with the prayer team tomorrow, Lord?" And as I'm walking into the bedroom to go in there to help her a little bit, boom, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And I'm like, "Hey, help me remember, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." That's the verse. I got to look that up. That's the verse for the prayer team tomorrow. And so then we go in there and we're putting the sheets on. Where did that come from? It came from pressing into him. It came from looking to him. And you can do that every day. And so I want to encourage you. Take time. Just make a, kind of make a pact, if you will, with yourself. "You know what? When I'm brushing my teeth, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for the kids. I'm going to pray for my future family, for some of you. I'm going to speak over that." When you're taking a shower, every day, you know, because you got to have everything else out of the way to take care of your daily business. When I go take a shower, I'm going to start spending time in prayer. The Lord has spoken so many things to me sometimes when I've been in a shower. And why? Because you're away from all the distractions of life. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that those distractions come to steal the word. And so there's so much busyness of life that we're living in. Just make a pact. When I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm taking a shower, you know what? When I'm getting dressed, I'm going to turn off the TV, turn on praise and worship music or something. Just align yourself. You know what? I'm going to start right there. And if you haven't been like praying in front of your family, I had a hard time with this at first because I'm like, you know what? I don't know how to pray. And I was intimidated to pray in front of my family. I was intimidated to pray in front of somebody. And I'm telling you what, you start practicing this supplication and petition and intercession for your family. You start doing this when you're alone. You can do it when you're by yourself. When you're in there brushing your teeth, you can be just praying, thinking these prayers. When you're in the shower, you can just be speaking these prayers out. And then as you're driving to work, you can be doing these things. So start setting aside specific little times that just fit for you when you have a clear presence of mind and you're like, "Hey, you know what? Every day I've got this little drive to work. Instead of listening to talk radio, I'm going to pray. Instead of doing this, I'm going to spend a little bit of time in prayer." And I have something for each and every person here. I got copies for you. And so today we've got something for you so that way you'll have something written out and it'll jumpstart you and praying for your life and praying for your family. And so I want to look up Proverbs 27, verse 23. The Lord gave me this some time ago for my own life. It says, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." And so the Lord was showing me, you know, sometimes things is going on and I haven't been paying attention. And so this is not condemnation, this is exhortation. Open our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit start showing us. We can head some things off, and we can put a stop to some things, and we can build some things up. And so our prayers are not wasted, but the Lord was saying, I want you to start getting intentional with your prayers. And so whenever I've done that, then I started noticing a change inside of our family, a change inside of my work environment. I started noticing a change in that because I started becoming effectual about that. I started becoming purpose-driven about some of these prayers, directing some of these prayers to affect a change. And so he was like, start knowing some of this. And so whenever I spend more time praying, praying in the Spirit, praying over my family, it's like the connection of us becomes even closer. Man, I love it whenever my granddaughter's back there. When those grandkids, they come down there to the house, she likes to do communion. Hey, Papa, can we do communion? Or communion, I think is how she says it. Papa, can we do communion? Yeah. And it's like, so we're doing communion, you know. And she likes to do communion. And I keep it real simple with the kids. And I'll just take that. We got the bread and we got the juice. We have those. They really like the ones where you peel the thing off. And so we have that and we sit there and I'll just tell them what the Bible says. This is the blood of my new covenant for the remission of sins. This is his symbol, his body, and it was broken for us, and we can be healed. So, okay, amen. Let's just take that, and then we take communion. So I don't preach to them. I don't give a whole, and they're not going to understand a whole lot about the elements, but it's a seed, and I'm going inside of there. It's a seed going inside of there, and then they're living this thing out. And so sometimes we can think, man, is my prayers really doing a lot? Yes, they're doing a lot. But what's doing even as much and more is our life of faith. And so I want to bring to your attention here, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so as we begin to pray these things out, I've noticed a change in my work environment, getting a little more intentional, you know. And then as I'm praying for some of these guys that I work with, some of the ones that, you know, what does Pastor Will say? They're sandpaper on our rough edges. So I got a couple of them, and man, they're about 40 grit sandpaper. And so, I mean, they're a little bit rough on the edges. And so one of them, I'll tell him, I say, you know, you're one quality decision away. And he'll be like, what? You're one quality decision away. And I was saying, you know, some people will never change. And the Holy Spirit corrected me. And he goes, you don't know that. You do not know his future and his state. You don't know that. And I'm like, Lord, you're right. I repent and ask you to forgive me. At this time, he's not showing no evidence of change. But he's one quality decision away. And I'm telling you what, he can change. You know, there was Saul of Tarsus. And he was, I mean, vehemently going after the church. And he was consenting to the killing of people. And Jesus took it quite personal. So when we're getting persecuted and you're getting pushed down, Jesus is taking it personal. And so as we're praying and as we're making supplication and as we're interceding for these people, Jesus is hearing. There's bowls of incense up there. These things are being taken note of. And so sometimes we can feel like it's not going very far, but we want to keep living this life of faith. And then there came a Damascus Road experience for Saul of Tarsus, and he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he became Paul, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, roughly. And so he made a vehement change, but he was living this life out. And so we see in Timothy, he's speaking to him. He's saying, hey, I want you to be making prayers for all these that are in authority and leaders. So we need to pray over our leaders. We need to pray over our pastor. we need to be praying over them and interceding for them so that way they can have godly wisdom and counsel to make wise decisions. Those that are in leadership, from the dog catcher to the president in this great country, we need to be praying over them that they'll have righteous people gathered around them, that they'll hear and they'll make righteous decisions. And those that are in authority, if they won't align themselves to kingdom principles, if they're not going to promote godliness and kingdom principle, we pray for God to set them down, not cause them hurt and harm, and then raise up somebody that's going to promote the things of God so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. But that also means, saints, when it comes time to vote, go vote the Bible. Whatever is the closest to that, vote that. And I'm telling you what, and then you keep praying for them. And it's okay to send them an email and say, that wasn't good right there. No, you need to do this. And so align ourselves to do it. That's our faith in action. That's right. And so sometimes we neglect these little things, but the faith in action, you know, Paul was also talking to Timothy, and in verse 18 of 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare." Well, you know, I'm really glad years ago this guy gave me a prophecy. And he called me out, and I mean, I wrote down as much of it as I could remember. And it was talking about my life and talking about God using my life and examples in my life to set some people free and things I was going to go do. And, you know, those prophecies can become warfare. When you got a promise over your kids, when God has put a place to promise in there or a prophetic word inside of your heart for them, you can war for their behalf with that in prayer and supplication. You can use that. So this guy gave me, I'm glad we was in a church that actually believes that little section of scripture, and because this guy gave me that prophetic word. And so I wrote down most of it, and I had it in there. Well, then time is kicking along, and I'm at this church, and I was preaching, filling in here and there, preaching, helping, doing stuff. Just, you know, I tell people I'm a pocket on the shirt. I'm just here to help. You put something in there, I'm just a pocket. I'm not the shirt, I'm just a pocket. And so I'm just doing what I can do. I'm filling in, I'm preaching, I'm doing stuff. Well, when I preach, I use examples of what God does inside of my life. And I wasn't even thinking about this prophecy. And so this other guy that was going to church there, he was actually an evangelist. He told me, he said, "You know, brother, I just want to bring out." He's like, "I think you're in pride. You keep using these examples and you're it's pointing towards you." And I was like, I gave an example of me praying for somebody, but God got all the glory and everything. He's like, "Well, I think you're in pride now. I don't think you should be using examples of yourself like that." And I said, "Well, I don't feel like that's wrong." And so I went to the Lord in prayer. I was like, "Lord, if I'm in pride about this, Lord, talk to me. I'll repent. But I don't know how to preach and not use examples." And so I'm like, "What do I do?" And the Lord brought back to my remembrance. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is bring back things to your remembrance. Oh, that prophetic word that came from Jerry. So I went and found it, dug it out. There's this prophetic word right there. You're going to use your life examples right there, and families and lives are going to be changed and set free. And I'm like, yeah. So I took that prophetic word, and I started saying, "Father, if I get into pride in any way, you pull the reins, and I will back up. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I just stand against that word. And I just, Lord, I just press forward in that and take the examples of my life. Take the examples that you put inside of them and set people free. You said you were going to in that prophetic word." And when he said it, I'm telling you, right on the inside, it was like, man, that's God. That was God. And this guy is so awesome. And I was thinking, man, I'm so glad I was in a church that believes all of the Bible. That prophetic word had an avenue to come forth. And so I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And so I just try to live that out. And I use examples of that, those things. And we should too. But here's one of the major things in increasing your prayer life and increasing your walk with God is that daily thing. Just being that daily thing where you're spending that time, when you brush your teeth, when you take a shower, when you drive to work, when you do whatever, when you're getting dressed, you just set aside a little bit of time and go, Lord, I just want to press in and get to know you better. And then it starts bleeding over into other areas. But living this life of faith out, walking this thing out where there is a pattern that people can look and see the pattern of your life and go, that person's following after God. And they can see it. And so in 2 Timothy, I want to point this out. Look at this. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he had been having some issues, and he was talking about he's desiring to see him. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first, look at here, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Sometimes we need somebody to come along, another saint, when we're having trouble and just remind you, you got the faith of God on the inside of you. Your family comes from a family of faith. And if you don't come from a family of faith, it starts with me. Starts in my house. Is my life a picture of faith? Because you can, you know, there's a lots of people that have a confession of faith in Christ, that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, but they have no works that backs up that confession. I call them camouflage Christians. They just fit into whatever crowd they're in. They just kind of, in that little element, when they're at work and they're over here and the guys are telling dirty jokes and they're doing stuff like that, they just fit right on the end. They laugh at it and all this kind of stuff. But then if they get over here by the relatives that's a churchgoer, you know, they kind of, you know, clamp that down a little bit, and they kind of fit in, and they're kind of camouflaged. They just kind of fit into their environment. Well, I don't want to be a camouflage. I want to have that one of those neon yellow shirts that says Jesus guy. And so wherever I go, people know. I mean, when I walk into work, they know I'm there. And so some of them, that's not always a good thing. They're like, oh, he's here now, you know. And so... But some of the other ones, the ones that's letting me pray for them, the ones that's seen my character flow out. And so the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, they were setting this example of a life in faith for young Timothy. And so sometimes is my prayers and my supplications making a difference? Well, it started making a difference in young Timothy. And notice this. I want to go to Philippians. I think he'll pull it up right there. Philippians chapter 2. Did I write that down correctly? I did not. Yeah, I did. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Let's look at that. Because of Timothy's heritage that he's got from his mother and his grandmother, Paul is going to send Timothy out. And he said, look at this. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also encourage you when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. He's talking about the Philippians. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. So look at the character that was put into young Timothy through this faith walk, faith life of his grandmother and his mother. And that I know of, it never mentions his father. But his grandma and his mom lived out a life of faith and young Timothy. And notice this, that it put some character inside of him. But something the Lord was pointing out to me is that faith life, that faith walk that they were walking out, it positioned Timothy for him to be positioned and cross paths with Paul. It opened doors for him with the Apostle Paul. So when you're praying for your kids, you're aligning things down the road for them to come into their life to intersect with an Apostle Paul, with somebody like that. For that right job, that right boss, that right friend, you're interceding for them, making supplication to them while I'm just scrubbing my hair in there. It takes me about 5 seconds. And so you're just doing that. And I mean, you're looking down the road, and I'm telling you, God is going, oh, I can partner with that right here. I got this guy right over here. We need to get him a little bit of training there. Boom, he's got that training. He needs to come over to here. Yeah, I don't know why. We just feel like we're supposed to go to this restaurant today, go to that restaurant. And instead of just being quiet, the person standing next to you, hey, how are you doing? You might just meet somebody. Something real interesting. One time, I went on a mission trip with Rhema. And they were talking about in getting ready to go on mission trips, they were talking about in preparation of it, they were talking about when we leave, we have a schedule and we have an agenda that we're going for, but if there is an obstacle that we have to overcome, keep our ears open for opportunity. And so a plane got delayed one time or whatever, and they made a connection of a pastor that was in another country that opened up a mission spot where Rhema started going to years later. And it was because of a plane delay. You know, last May, I went with Mike and Carrie, went to Honduras. It was so hot that the schools were out. Well, guess what we were doing? We were going around knocking on doors, handing out beans and rice and manna packs, and I had some balloons making some little balloon animals. There was kids that was home that got to hear about Jesus that if it wouldn't have been so hot, they would have been in school. It was hot. But I'm telling you, the kids were there. And somebody on the team, I can't remember who it was, brought that out. That, you know what, if it wasn't this hot, we wouldn't be able to see and get to minister to as many kids. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. So don't think your prayers are not making a difference. Get intentional with them. Get intentional with them. So a prayer of supplication is a petition, an entreaty, or a formal written request. And you're doing this, praying for somebody. And so my wife and I have written out a couple. One time years ago, we wrote out like a supplication petition. And if you look it up, I think, you know, in the Webster's Dictionary, it just talks about an entreaty, a heartfelt, a formal written request, or a petition. And so you can think of it in one form. You can pray it out. You can write it out. But one thing you can do is you can take a piece of paper and you can start looking up scriptures pertaining to things. In 1 John 5:14, it talks about, now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've asked for. And so when you start looking up scriptures that's pertaining to the issue that you're dealing with, or for your family, scriptures you want to pray over your kids, oh, faith starts arising. Confidence starts getting built up on the inside of your heart. And you're like, yeah. So we've got it. We've done this a few times. One time years ago, we were building the very first house we built. We're building this house, and we didn't know, but there had previously been a water line out there, but the city didn't know it. And we needed a water line, and the city guy, he comes, and we're like, yeah, we need a, you know, line. He's like, well, you'll have to pay for the line. It's like, really? And he was like, yeah. And then since it goes down here, you'll have to pay for a fire hydrant at the end of that. It's like, what? He was like, yeah, because you'll be at the end of the line. I'm like, well, the line ends on that lot, and we didn't know that then. And it's like, talk to them about it, I guess. I mean, fire hydrants are expensive. 6-inch water lines are expensive. Water taps are expensive. And then somebody to come with a backhoe to put all this in is expensive. And so this is going on. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, so you're telling me I got to pay for the company to come tap into that line to put in the line that I buy for the tap for my house, and then a fire hydrant at the end of that line, and then I got to pay you for the water to flow through my line, through my meter, with a fire hydrant over there. I said, man, y'all's like the mafia. Should not have said that. Didn't help. Didn't help. Not a good time to pop off with the lips, you know? And so I said that, and I was like, man, y'all sound like, you know, you can pay me for protection from Guido, but Guido works for me. And so I'm like, he didn't like that. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, you're not getting any water to this house, and you can't get your house signed off on when it's done until you pay for that. And I said, no, it's not going to go that way. And he goes, that's the way it's going to go. And he got in his truck and he left. And he was not happy. And so my wife and I, we were praying. It's like, man, it's like, you know, we'll pay for some line. and we'll pay for a water meter because you have to do that in there. You know, it's like, okay, we'll do what we're supposed to, but all this extra line and a $2,500 fire hydrant installed or whatever, it's like, wait a minute, that's not even on our lot. We don't even own that. That's the city's problem if they need a fire hydrant at the end of the lot. And so this is going on. So I talked to my pastor at the time. He built houses for years. And I was telling him, he goes, well, you didn't have to pay for the tap and pay for that. But all this extra, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 worth of extra. He's like, no, you shouldn't have to pay for that. It's like, okay. And so the Lord had brought back to my remembrance prayer of supplication, prayer of petition. And so Shauna and I, we sat down and we start looking up scriptures about dealing with people. And so we wrote out a prayer. And so you can take in that prayer and you can write, you can either include the scripture into the prayer or you can write a reference to it over on the side. And so we wrote out this one page prayer petition, prayer supplication about this right here and dealing justly, because they got the authority and we don't. And so when you're dealing with somebody else's will that is involved, this is where it's really great to use a prayer supplication and petition, because now you can start looking up for scriptures and you're not trying to persuade God. You're getting in line with God. So now he can start making thoughts come to them. I heard one great minister, he said, you know, when you pray for somebody, you're giving them another thought, a kingdom thought. And if you don't give them that kingdom thought, they might not even have one all day. And so you just, you're putting that in. And you can pray this over and over and over. And I'm telling you, oh man, Paul has so many prayers of supplication and petition inside the Bible. Let me read. This one here is absolutely my favorite. And I'll get back to that story in just a second. Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. You can put your name or your kid's name in there where it says you. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You can pray that over your family, over your friends, over your loved ones, over your coworker, over yourself. And I'm telling you, that's that supplication. That's that prayer or petition where you're just doing it. And you can start adding in scriptures to these things. And you can start interceding for somebody else. And you're putting this in. So my wife and I, we wrote out this prayer for the city about this water issue. And we're writing it down. And I told the guy, no, it's not going to be that way. And he said, oh, yeah, it's going to be that way. I said, no, it's not going to be that way. And he didn't appreciate that either. And so we got this prayer written out. And I checked with my pastor. I'm like, is this? And I showed him. And it was like, I agree with that. And I was like, okay. And so he came into agreement with me. Or two or three more come into agreement. And so I'm like, I'll pay what is right for me to pay. But I'm not paying $3,000 or $4,000 extra for stuff that doesn't even pertain to us. And so my wife and I, we wrote this prayer out. And we started praying that. And you know, it was, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later, the city guy, he had to come back by there and we're getting closer and on this water thing. And he said, well, I'll tell you, you pay for the tap right there. You don't have to pay for the fire hydrant and you just pay for your water meter. And first he was trying to, you can add pay for that extra pipe over there. So no, we're not paying for that over there. That ain't got nothing to do with us over there. I'll pay for this and I'll pay for that. Anything other than that, it's not right. And he was like, well, I'll tell you, fine. We'll take care of the fire hydrant then and we'll do this. And so anyways, he shifted because every time we're praying that, another thought's coming at him. You're trying to get him to pay for something that's not on his lot. Another thought is coming at him. This ain't right. He's talked to you in a nice manner. I shouldn't have said, you guys are kind of like the mafia. That was not good. I repent. And so, you know, other thought is coming in there. And he's getting these thoughts and not getting no rest. You know, there's so many examples inside of the Bible. I mean, where God was given the prophet, the battle instructions for an opposing army. And he's like, who is the spy among us? And they're like, there ain't no spy in here. It's that Elijah the prophet. God's telling him what's going on in your bedchamber, the thoughts you have. And so they go to get him, and he was like, strike them all with blindness. And lead them up. And so it's amazing. God can show you things by interceding, by making this prayer supplication, by praying this over and over and over for your family, for your loved ones, for your neighbor, and you can be giving them another thought, another thought. And we're aligning ourselves with God. And so I used to have this book. It's awesome. It's called Discover the Power in the Prayers of Paul. And I got this, and so there'll be these. I don't know if you can put that up there from, it was part of that email with the notes, but there is one of these on each one of those little offering boxes on the way out and at the information desk. And I had enough printed off so each and every person can have one. And you can make copies of these. Let me read this to you. And this is based a gathering of things from Colossians. And here it is. It says, in the name of Jesus, I praise and thank you for your faithfulness to continue the good work you began in, and it has a blank, and you can put somebody's name in there, until this day, that you call them home to be with you. Because of this, Father, I ask that you further reveal to them the calling and purpose for their life, making it more and more real to them so they can know both how to walk it out and will see when and how to achieve it through the insight of the Holy Spirit. And that in every situation, they would clearly see your will and know how to pursue it effectively to fulfill your perfect will for their life. Cause each step that they take is working it out, your plan, to be pleasing to you, and all of their steps and efforts to overflow with a fruitfulness. Cause each step they take also to increase their knowledge of you and help and grow closer to you. I pray that, put their name in there, would be strengthened according to your power to the point that nothing could discourage them so that they can endure anything that might come with joy and thanksgiving for all that you have done, all that you are currently doing, and all that you have yet to do, because through Jesus, you have made them fit to take part in the inheritance laid up for all of the saints who walk in your light. So that's this prayer, and you can make copies of that. And my intention and goal with this is, if you haven't been praying, you haven't been spending much time in prayer, you can write your family's name inside of their individual names. You can make copies of this, and you can have it, and you can get started. This will get a flow going to where then you can sit or gather around your table. We're getting ready to eat. So hold on. Let's give God thanks. I love it with my grandkids. Like, hold on. Let's give God thanks. And then we also do something we learned. I picked it up from the mission trip with Mike and Carrie. Highs and lows. I do that with my grandkids. What was the high point of your day? What was the low point of your day? And we're walking this out. And then when we're going to eat, let's give God thanks for good things. And I'll ask him, what are you thankful for? And a lot of times they're like, for my family, for my mom, for this, that, and the other. And so then we give God thanks. Pray over that food. They're hearing it. They're seeing this walk of faith. They're seeing this pattern of life. And so if your life has not been patterning out, make an adjustment. Just make an adjustment. It's as simple as turning the channel on the TV. Just make an adjustment. I'm telling you, God wants to flow through us. You know, this morning, I mean, God, he knows everything. I mean everything. And he knows everything about it. And he knows something. He even knows where your remote control is. So this morning, my wife goes in there and she's in it's kind of made it into like a little workout room in a back bedroom, and she's looking around. Well, the kids have been in there watching a TV or something, and she's like, where is that remote control? And I walk in there, and I'm like, yeah, and she's like, how does it disappear with them? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's looking around, and I'm walking around looking. I was like, well, you know, God knows where it is. God shows where the remote control is. I turn around, boom, there it is right there next to the little elliptical thing. And it's like, he even knows where the remote control is. I'm telling you now, that is amazing. Because I already looked around the room once, and she's already looking. And then he's like, there it is right there. I'm telling you, he wants to lead and guide our steps in the paths of righteousness. And I want to point out something to you here. Let's look up one more, couple of scriptures here. In Ephesians, I'm right here in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 6:18. I'll just read it to you. Nobody's back. Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. Well, we want to spend some time. We don't want to leave off a key ingredient of praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, let me read this verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. So as you write out this prayer of supplication, or as you're going about your day and this time frames that you've set aside, that you could take a few minutes to just spend a little time and pray for your kids, pray for your family, pray for your job, pray for things like this. Don't forget, you're leaving out a key ingredient if we leave out praying in the Spirit. And so now you can sit there and you can pray this written out prayer, or you can write one kind of like it, put it together for yourself with scriptures in there. And as you're putting those scriptures in there, looking up each one, don't just look up the reference real quick. Actually sit down and read the scripture, and faith will begin to arise. Because faith comes with knowledge, with understanding. It comes with information. And so when you get this information, this is God's position for my kid right here. Yeah, I know the plans that I have for you. Call unto me and I'll answer you. So then you start putting these scriptures together. And as you're doing that, well, then faith is arising, and you start praying that out. And so then you pray this supplication out, and you're praying for your family. You're praying for your dear friend that's going through a struggling time or something like that. And then you go, now, Father, I've prayed with my understanding. Now, I just want to trust you, Holy Spirit, to pray for the things that I know not what to pray. And you just begin to pray in the tongues, pray in the Spirit, and you're just praying, and then boom, a thought comes up, an answer, a scripture, a word, and you start speaking that over it in the name of Jesus. I just speak to that right there. And what you find out, a lot of times, that was the root of the problem to start with. Now you're hitting that root with the Word of God. Now you're co-laboring, locking arms, picking up the issue with the Holy Spirit. And you're speaking to that. And so it's not strange. Yeah, my mind, I don't understand those words in my mind. But that's where the faith comes in. And it says, what is the conclusion? I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray with the tongues. I will speak in these new language. And you can be endued with power from on high to be a witness. I'm telling you, it changed my life. So if Sarah, go ahead and come on up. It changed my life when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Things started coming into alignment. I was a truck driver, just going down the road, and I would pray that prayer out of Ephesians that I read to you. My wife wrote it out on a paper plate, and I had it underneath the CB strap, and I just play it over and over and over and over again. God, I got to know your will. I got to know you. And I was praying. And then I found out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so then I would be praying with my understanding, and I would pray in the Spirit. And God would start showing me things. He would give me understanding of what I was actually praying out. And he started showing me things to come. Man, there's so many examples. One time I had this business, I had a guy working for me, and I was just spending some time. I was doing my thing, and I was just spending a little bit of time, and I'll just pray in tongues a lot of times when I'm just doing stuff. Because you can pray in tongues while you're working. And so I was just praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, boom, something came up. And I was like, wait a second. And I had this one guy working for me, and he was over at this job, and I was going to meet a couple. We were going to meet them for lunch, and then I was going to go back over there and help him. And it was like when the inside was like, hey, he's going to pretend he's going to fall off a scaffolding and get hurt to try to do a workers' comp thing. I'm like, what? And so I start praying into that. And I knew this on the inside. It just came up. So I started praying against that, speaking against that. My wife and I met this other couple for lunch. We tell them, they're praying people. And so they prayed about it. And so when we get done going from lunch, I go back over to this job, and he's telling me, he said, you know, the chemicals from the phone was kind of, he didn't fall off, try to fall off the scaffolding or anything, but it was funny because he said, the chemicals is bothering my eyes from yesterday. I can't hardly see. I was really worried about falling off the scaffolding. And so I'm like, what do you want me to do about this, Lord? Because my first instinct is think, I'll pick him up and shake him a little bit, you know? And the Lord's like, no, no. And the Lord's like, pay for whatever he needs. I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go to the eye doctor? I'll pay for it. And I'll even pay you for the day being off work. And I'll pay you for tomorrow while you're off work. And so he went. Nothing came of his eyes. Nothing came of that. But he was so worried about falling off the scaffolding and getting hurt because of his eyes. And the Lord forewarned me in advance about this. And I started praying. And I started interceding. And I started speaking over that situation. Yeah, it cost me a little bit of money. But it didn't cost me a workers' comp claim and an insurance hike and for years and years to come. And so he prevented some stuff. And then it also set an example. He's seen. And this guy, I'd known him for a long time since he was a kid. He got to see, I'm going to step out and go way beyond what you're expecting. And so he got to see that pattern of that. And you know, years later, I run into this guy in a store. And I seen him and I'm talking to him. And he was telling me about the struggle he's going through and things going on. I said, man, will you let me pray for him? He's like, yeah, and I prayed for him. And I'm telling you, God can do stuff. He can show you things to come so you can cut some stuff off, so you can build some stuff up, so you can align some things so your kids have favor that other kids don't have, so your kids aren't friends with the kids that they shouldn't be around. They're friends with that other kid that's going to pull out the best in them, that's going to bring them there, your family, your spouse, your loved one, when they're at work. So they're going to have coworkers that are going, man, I see God inside of you. I see that inside of you. And I want to write out a prayer supplication. I want to write it out and print this thing out with scriptures in there so I can pray this over people. Amen. So I want to ask you a really important question today. If the prayer team would go ahead and come up, up here to the sides. I want to ask you a really important question. The very first step in a life of faith, because each and every one of us, there's coming a day, the Bible says, that we're all going to stand before Jesus. There is coming a day. And so sometimes we can push things off, and we can push things off, and we can push things off. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day. And if you're not right with God, if you're not where you're supposed to be, and you know it, on the inside right now, you're feeling an uneasiness, an unsteadiness. I'm telling you, God can deliver you from that, take you off the kingdom, the path of destruction, put you into the kingdom of his dear son. So if there's anybody here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I just want to ask you, just raise your hand up. I want to pray with you. And you can know that you know that you know today that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Is there anybody here? Amen. Well, I want to encourage you that today, if there's an issue that you want prayer for, the prayer team, they're here. They believe in the supernatural power of God. And I'm going to be down there with my wife here in just a moment. And Jason's going to come up and close. And as we're there, if you need somebody to pray for you, you got an issue going on inside of your life, you got something going on, it's like, man, I just need somebody to speak life and a word over us. Maybe there'll be a prophetic word that'll come forth that you'll be able to fight a good warfare with one day. God can do amazing things. And if you got an issue going on inside of your body, you know, we can pray over that and watch what God does. He can change circumstances. like that, as easy as finding a remote control. He knows everything about you, and he loves you immensely. And those prayers are not going to be wasted. So I want to encourage you with this. Please avail yourself. Grab one of these or two of these on your way out at the information desk back there in the back. The ushers have them. And make some copies of it. Write it out. Write your own out. Begin to intercede with your family.